Well, thank you, Natalie. Appreciate that. You know, the Christmas songs do have a great message in them, the old ones. I'm not talking about the new junk that's coming out, but there's some new stuff out. Sounds like Jingle Bells with the wheels off the sleigh. Or, I guess it don't have wheels to start with, but hit a rocky road or something. Anyway, the real old stuff has a good message to it this time of year. Think about us, especially down here in the South, singing about how much fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. We've never done that. We wouldn't know it was any fun or not. All right, I can say more about that, but probably better not. But anyway, it's okay to have a little lively thing like that, but we sure want to get the Christmas message out, the real message out too, amen? We start off in Proverbs. We haven't gotten very far. Other things have come along, so we're going to ask you to go to Proverbs chapter 2 tonight and move on just a little bit further. And we will be hearing a lot of messages concerning, of course, and rightfully so, the birth of Christ, and that'll all come in due time. Book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and some of the books that are called the books of wisdom, they deal with so much that is practical, so much of life that we live every day. Somebody said, well, the Proverbs scatters it around. Well, life is scattered. Do you ever notice that? Maybe you don't have this trouble, but do you ever find thoughts coming through your mind? Say, why do I think of that? It's a waste of time to be thinking about that. Why am I thinking about that? But it's just fire at you all the time. The devil fires some of those shots at you. The Lord does too. He gives you things to ponder and think on. And life you don't always know. I don't know about you, but I get up in the morning and I decide I'm going to do this today and I'm going to do this today. And sometimes I don't do any of that. I find something else crowded it out before I knew it. Some time before I can walk from the car in the morning to the office, something comes up that I didn't count on for the day. That is life. So as we go through Proverbs, we find that it is so helpful to us. It gives us guidelines and principles. And of course, the end goal is to get us to have that Christian character and know how to live right for the Lord. It's one thing to be saved, it's something else to live for God. Live a testimony, show Christian character. And that's very important. In the Proverbs, it talks about that, and that compares the good and the evil. Compares the right way and the wrong way quite often as you go through Proverbs. Sometime in one verse, it's this, and then it crosses the street to this. Shows you the good consequences, the bad consequences from decisions that are made. So as we move into chapter 2, of course, it's talking about wisdom. Wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs. That means it's given a personality. Often in Proverbs, it's spoken of in the female gender and called she or her. And we start off here in chapter 2. I'm going to drop down to verse 10 because we already got started in it. Verse 10, chapter 2. Now, I'm going to constantly be clearing my throat. I've been doing it all day. I just wish the weather would decide whether it's going to be winter or summer. It keeps throwing me off. I planted, of all things, one time in my yard, I planted a peach tree in Florida. Now, I know they've tried that, and I still haven't seen it working too good. But way back there, nursery said, we got a peach tree that'll grow in Florida. That poor peach tree didn't know what to do. It'd blossom out, and a frost would kill it. Then it would get too hot, and it'd burn. I finally had about 3 peaches on the tree, and one squirrel got them all. It was a total disaster. In fact, when I went by the tree, I'd been watching, and I thought, maybe I'm going to finally get one peach. I walked by, and he was finishing off. I just looked at him and said, when I get desperate, I'll eat you. But anyway, didn't know what to do. And sometimes we folks that fight allergies like I do, we don't know hardly what to do sometimes with them. And I think that's my trouble. So excuse my coughing tonight. And it's pretty much a chronic thing with me. It says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. And it says, when this happens, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Saying as a byproduct of this wisdom entering into thy heart and this knowledge that's pleasant to the soul, a byproduct will be discretion. Don't sell that short. To be able to discern, to have discretion is so important in everything we do in life. Sometimes discretion will tell you when to answer and when not to answer. It'll tell you how to treat somebody one way or how to treat somebody the other way. Discerning the difference is so very, very important. I have found through the years in hiring staff, day school, college, any position you might mention, I've found out that one of the biggest attributes might not can be learned in a college classroom is discretion. Choosing the right over the wrong. Having the wisdom to know the difference between the two. That's important. Now, as a byproduct of this wisdom from God that is talking about, that enters to the heart, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Think about it with me now just a moment. Book of Proverbs deals with two real big personalities, or we'll call them two different people. One is the evil man. The other is the strange woman. And young man, you do well to know much about what Proverbs says, because it's warning you against the strange woman. It's warning you against following the evil man or the good man. And it'll help you to, again, back to discretion, discern the difference. And it says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Now that word froward there, don't let it throw you. It's mentioned about three times in these verses here. And somebody says, well, what does that mean? Well, it means twisted or crooked or perverted. So if you throw that word right in there, you'll understand there are evil men out there that will pervert things. They're crooked. They will twist it. Boy, Americans ought to see that going on right now in Washington. Hadn't. What a mess. What a ridiculous thing. It is the only consolation I have in the crookedness that's going on, the perversion that's going on up there, is that God is very much aware of it. And while they pull one investigation, one fraud after another, they've never fooled God one time. And so his purpose will still win. I don't know what his purpose is, as to whether he's going to keep using the president as he has used him, and he has used him since he's been in office. There's been less babies killed. The homosexual agenda has been slowed up, and a whole lot of other things. Israel, if you saw any of the news this afternoon, just as I got home, they were having the news conference where the president was signing the executive order concerning discriminating in our universities, which they are really discriminating against conservatives, and they've been doing that, not letting a conservative speaker speak and all that. But they've also, finally, the mask is being pulled off. They're very anti-Semitic, very anti-Jew, anti-Israel. So he signed an executive order this afternoon with quite a little crowd there praising him. He's done some right things, like move the embassy and they declare the Golan Heights as part of of Israel and Jerusalem as the capital and all. Listen, that stuff is important to God. He says Israel is the apple of his eye. That's important to him. But you've got a lot of perverseness going on. You got a lot of crookedness, a lot of twisting, and all of that business that's going on. And so Book of Proverbs here warns us about that kind of a business. And it goes on to describe, kind of tie some of these verses together. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man from the man that speaketh froward things, who leaves the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You know, the sad truth is that man does leave the lighted path for the dark path. That's the old depraved human nature, to choose darkness over light. That's what Jesus said about man in John chapter 3. He said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why the thief gets in the dark to steal. That's why so much wrong and crime is committed in the dark. He'd rather cover it up. And of course, you look at the stats across the world, and more crime is committed in the dark than in the light. And Jesus said it was because man's deeds was evil. He wanted to hide them. He wants to hide them. And so here the book of Proverbs is a help to us. I was reading an article by George Mueller. You know who George Mueller was? Raise your hand. You've read about him? All right. The big answers of prayer and all that God used him, the offerings home and all of that business. And I was reading a little personal note that he wrote, not long, just a long paragraph. And he talked about the day that he discovered not only private prayer life, but how to go to the Word of God and meditate on it, and how God opened up and helped his prayer life even. And he was just talking about how important it was to get that insight, to get that information, to get how God wanted him to do. And I thought, if a spiritual giant like George Mueller had the need of the Word of God, how much more do we? And if God blessed him, he didn't have a monopoly on God. He was just doing what all of us ought to be doing. That's all it was. And so as we go through Proverbs here, we can learn some things about this. Like I say, we can pick up on this forward here, this word, and it'll show up again a couple of times. And it says, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Boy, the ways are innumerable. And then it says, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. In other words, they don't only do it, they enjoy doing it. That's the part we, especially in the social society today, blame everything on the environment. That kid's bad because he was raised in a bad environment. That sure don't explain the ones that come out of the bad environment and God saves them and uses them. No, but that's excuse. That's excuse. Truth of the matter is, there's a human nature that rejoices to do evil and delights in it. If you want to flip over to the book of Romans, go to Romans chapter 1. You ought to really study out Romans chapter 1. It's so interesting about how the pagans used to have the light and they turned from the light. And then we send the missionaries and get the light back on, and how the human nature wants to turn from it again. We are so quick today to excuse crime, excuse evil. And yet the last verse of Romans chapter 1 has something really strong to say about it. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, those same evil things, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, there's a powerful statement here. Not only the man doing evil deeds has pleasure in them, but he has pleasure in the others he sees doing them too. That's our society today, folks. They'll give them a trophy. They'll give them an Oscar for portraying a dirty movie before the world to influence young people and all that. But the world seems to reward evil and praise evil. They rejoice in others that are doing it. You ever hear this? Kind seeks out kind. I've noticed this in my relationship with people, ministry, day school, college, church, you name it. I have found that you can enroll kids in school or college, and they don't know who else is in the class. But notice how the bad gets together. Bad attracts bad. Next thing you know, the two worst kids in your class are great buddies. I'm sorry, folks, that's the truth. If you don't know it, you don't know much. Evil seeks out evil. Wrong seeks out wrong. Others doing wrong, and they have a pleasure in it. Now, we can excuse it all we want to over the sinful nature and the fallen nature, and I understand all that's true. But it's still a fact. There are some folks that enjoy their evil, and they're not happy if they're not doing evil. They enjoy sin, and the more they do it, the more they enjoy it. That's sad, but it is truth. That verse says, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You read the newspaper, read how the sheriff of the county here sets up a sting and catches the sex traffic and catches the evil and catches the dope pushers. And you know what they do? They use the same bait that they're already into. They bait the trap with the same sin that they're already practicing. And I'm surprised. Somebody says, well, that was a smart criminal. No such thing. When I was a kid growing up, the theme was crime don't pay. Anybody remember that? Well, it don't pay in the long run. It seems to pay sometime quickly and temporarily. And you don't pay in the long run because the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible teaches there's no covering, no hiding for sin. Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, proverb again, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's two streets, one way, one the other. Hide it, it'll catch up with you. Confess it and get rid of it and be blessed because of it. And that's what the Proverbs do. They give us that comparison over and over. And we've moved to the day and time, Isaiah chapter 5. If you want to mark it, I won't turn to it. Isaiah chapter 5, about verse 20, speaks of the day that will come when they'll call good evil and evil good. Boy, are we there. We've been there a long, long time. And you'll find, as Romans 1:32 was talking about there are people who live like the devil, and they appreciate other people who live like the devil. And they find each other. They're attract. And they unify. Now, getting this wisdom and getting this discretion that comes from it. Discretion, back to it a little bit. Wisdom from God will do three things for you, and I'll just give you these three. Three ways you ought to approach it. First, if you want it, you ought to search for it prayerfully. You know what's wise when you start to read a portion of the scripture and you want something out of it? Ask God to bless your understanding, to open your mind, to give you something. Search for it prayerfully. Then when you get it, give God the glory for it. Don't brag on yourself. Except by the grace of God, there go I, all of us. We understand that. Give God the glory. And then when you do get wisdom, walk in the light of it. See, it's possible to know right, but walk wrong. Possible to know the lighted path, but take the dark path. Yeah, we still have a choice. Still have a choice. We always do. And sad truth is that a lot of folks think, well, I'm outsmarting God. I've always had a problem with that because I remember a time or two trying to fool dad or mama and getting caught. Anybody remember that? I remember a time or two trying to fool a teacher and getting caught. I've never been a big enough fool to think I fooled God. But some folks do seem to think that. And the proverb here will help us. And talks about the group that delights in the crooked path, in the perverted path. And it goes on and describes them in verse 15, whose ways are crooked. Now, isn't it interesting how the King James Bible kind of interprets that word? That's not a word we use a lot, froward. But here in the context, crooked path. It's the crooked way. It's the twisted way. It's the perverted way. and whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. It is interesting. I want you to back up with me to verse 13 just a minute. It's describing this group again. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now that's verse 13. I believe if you'll count the words in the verse, you'll find 13 words. You say, oh, that's just accident. No, it's not. God often on the word 13s in your Bible does some amazing things. Somebody says, why has everybody got a phobia about 13? Well, there's some basis behind it. It really is. It's the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation where the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast shows up. Did you know that? There's a lot of airlines, I don't know if they still do it, but in the early days they would not have row 13. Anybody ever notice that? Go pick out your seat. It won't be the 13th one. A lot of hotels will not have a 13th floor. Now, different countries, different ways. When I was in Moscow, we stayed on the 13th floor. I thought that was kind of fitting. But that's a phenomenon. And in the King James Bible, just in the English, without going back to Greek or Hebrew, you'll find these phenomena. In fact, after the break, when we get going again in college, I'm talking to the young men on the front here, I'm going to share some books with you. Many of you know, our church knows, Kevin Mann. Kevin was saved here. One time was our song leader. He's been out in Texas a long time, but Kevin started studying and growing studying the Bible here right after he got saved. He was a hippie in a hippie band and shooting dope, tracks all over his arm where he shot up and about to die young because of it, but he got saved and flipped around so major change you wouldn't believe it hardly so quick and been serving the Lord ever since. But anyway, Kevin sent me a Christmas present. A little early. He sent me two or three books. They're about that thick, and they're about that big. They're big. And they're books he wrote. And I think he's probably worked on it for 10 years. But Scotty, I'll give you a copy of them too when I get a chance. I'm going to have them put in our bookstore. They're written where you can understand them, not deep stuff. But it's on the theme I just mentioned to you here, the phenomena in the King James Bible. And can you think you could put two or three books together that thick? That there'd be that much in the English, in the King James, showing that kind of phenomena, like 13 words in that 13th verse, dealing with sevens, dealing with, there's a word for it. I've taught some of it in Sunday school a time or two. It's called dialectic. And it is the fingerprints of God, the phenomena of God showing up on the verses. Couldn't be coincidence too much. When you think about writing two or three books that thick, and just material after material after material. So I'll share that in the college part here. But I find it so interesting how that God says, you see, this is you don't pick up man-made books and find that. You don't find that phenomenon. You can pick up the thickest books you know of and you won't find honest Bible codes in them like you will the Bible. The skeptics want to deny that, but they're the facts. Let me see you write a book and make this phenomenon show up. It won't show up. But it does in the King James Bible. Stuff like this right here, 13 words in the 13th verse and all so much. You get a hold of Kevin's books, and he put a lot of heart in it, a lot of work in it, and it'd be a blessing to you. Coming back to the verses now, verse 15, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Now, we got the evil man already mentioned. Now in verse 16, we got the strange woman. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Evil in the world today is advertised. Somebody said it's 6 o'clock in America. No commercial, no TV. Commercial that you can see, signboards, whatever. It uses the beauty of the female gender as the attraction. Something God made pure and beautiful, the devil corrupts and tries and has tried to use it. I remember when, of course, now it's not smart to do it anymore because finally they realize it's bad for their health. But do you remember when they started pushing women smoking? Do you remember a cigarette advertised Virginia Slims? Remember that? Well, I tell you, she don't only get slim, she becomes a skeleton and dies. I mean, that's what the corrupt stuff did. But they sold this to a lot of women that wanted to lose a few pounds, thinking if I smoke, I can go ahead and eat my beefsteak and chocolate cake. No, no, no. But that's the devil's lie. It always is. Always is the way he uses that sort of stuff. But the Proverbs warns you because it's a tool of the devil. Now, Eve in the garden became the devil's tool. And she is called in the New Testament the weaker vessel. And men are given instructions because of that. I feel sorry for the man that won't be the head of his house and lead his wife and daughters if he's got them. You ought to recognize God's going to hold you accountable for that. They are the weaker vessel. Now, there's a right way and wrong way described in the Bible. But here, the strange woman is warned about in the book of Proverbs, very much warned about. And it's amazing how, like I say, everything in the world is advertised by it. And, of course, the crowd that's against God is against anything that God declared to be right, like man being the head of the house. So we move to the day and time of seeing, even seeing this fought against. Man being the head is fought against by the devil's crowd out there. Speaking of that, it looks like the evil witch is coming back to life. I'm going to try to run for president again, but all right, you get that later. She is the strange woman of Proverbs in many ways, amen. All right. Young man, you better be warned. You read the Old Testament where Jezebel painted up. That's of the devil too. And it's certainly our day and time. It tells about this evil woman, this strange woman, the next few verses. This woman which forsaketh the guide of her youth. She knows better. She was raised right. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. See, she knew the lighted path. She's going down the dark path. She's letting the devil use her. Verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death, and her path unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. I've had reason to think a little bit about Samson in the last week. And he got that famous haircut. Delilah crept upon him, as the song says, and woke up, he was in trouble. But the devil uses that sort of stuff. It's really bad. Her house inclineth unto death, her path unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold on the path of life. Proverbs has a lot to say about this. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, not evil men. Walk in the way of good men. And don't kid yourself. there is a good path out there. And there are a lot of good men that'll lead you down that path, the good path. They'll give you the right example to follow. But at the same time, it's real easy to turn the wrong way and get on the dark path. And often the devil will use a woman to be that temptation to mess up and to lead a man astray. And you got to watch for that. Walk us in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. You have a little argument today. Well, nobody's doing right. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. You'll be without excuse to stand before God and say, well, nobody else did it either. I followed the crowd. That's going to be the cry of hell. I followed the crowd. That's exactly where it leads. That's where the end of what these Proverbs tell you. It's a way that seemeth right, Proverbs 4:12 and 16:25, two places in Proverbs, tells you there's a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You got to be better than just seeming right. It's got to be right. It's got to be right, and it can be right. And there are good men who will lead you right, and there's no excuse to say nobody else can do it. Yes, they can. They do. And it says in verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land. Here's the reward now of it. Here's the result of it. The upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Now, we know we're only perfect in Christ, but the word is used relatively here as to one that is doing right, doing the best they can and doing right. Then you got the word but, in the last verse, verse 22, and that changes and crosses back to the street, the opposite truth. While the upright are doing right, dwelling in the land, the opposite, the wicked, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now pick up on one word here in verse 22, that's the word shall. That means it's future. This means it's future. It's going to happen. That's how it's going to turn out. It shall be this way. It's not now, but it shall be this way. Bible tells us that the wicked is going to be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. It's not happening right now, but it shall happen. It will happen. Nations right now seem to be thinking they're fooling God and defying God, but they're not going to get by with it. Look at the end of shall. The end of shall says this is the way it's going to turn out. And that's the way that's really going to count, is the way it turns out. Amen. All right, Brother Hector, you want choir practice? Where are you at? Couldn't see you. You do want choir practice. All right, let's stand. Father, we thank you for the word of God, how it instructs us the right way, warns us of the bad way, the evil way. Help us, Father, to take your word, believe it, act on it. Have the discretion, Lord, that comes from having your word in our heart, that we'll know what is right and what is wrong. Bless the choir as they get ready. Bless the events as we get to this time of year, that Christ can be lifted up. We can be a testimony for him. Bless this Sunday, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.